You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. It's almost time for the 2020 NFL Draft, the first round, the first night. We'll be here Thursday. Yep, this Thursday, April 28th. We'll go day two and day three there on the night of April 29th on Friday, then close it all down from rounds four through seven there on Saturday. A lot of good stuff here on the Locked On Network as well to break down. Check out all the great shows, Locked On NFL, Locked On NFL Draft. We got you covered here on the network. Here, we're going to look at things from a fantasy football perspective. We will break down the first round and what goes down there for you on a special show on Friday. So all the good stuff that happens, all the unpredictable events from those top 32 picks, we'll take a look at them in detail for you. Before we do that, we got to count down and look at the latest news and rumors. So we're going to take the AFC today, and we're going to come back and look at the NFC there tomorrow. So we'll go to all 16 teams. What's the latest there in terms of their roster and what they're thinking free agent-wise still after this late stage, and then what their attention is going to turn to in the draft. So we'll get do a comprehensive look of the latest that's out there floating and see what rumors need to get our attention, what are just a little bit of noise here before the 2022 draft. We know there's a lot of misinformation floating out there as well. First, before we dive in, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline, as you covered this season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. All right, we'll do this. We'll go start with Baltimore, go in alphabetical order, and end up at Tennessee in our third and final segment here. First segment, the Ravens are a good team to kick off with. What are they going to do right in the middle of the draft here in the first round? They're pretty confident about their wide receiver core. They moved on from Sammy Watkins. They didn't keep Miles Boykin. So Rashad Bateman moves up in a very primo role. They're playing off Marquise Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews at tight end. So Bateman teased a little bit with some value as an RB2 at times at his best. More was wide receiver 3. It took him a while to get healthy, the first-round pick out of Minnesota last year. But I think you'll see Rashad Bateman be a lot more effective here in 2022. There's going to be more trust with Lamar Jackson. Jackson is playing for his own contract here this season. So Rashad Bateman, definitely someone to watch there in fantasy as a sleeper. And he could take over as the number one here. Would not surprise me. But so far, so good this offseason. The Ravens also kicked the tires at adding some insurance here. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards coming off major injuries. They could never play last year. Never got going. So they ended up with Devonta Freeman and Latavius Murray as makeshifts there. There was some talk they would bring in Melvin Gordon. Now there's a chance they're looking at running backs in the draft for a little bit more insurance. So maybe a little concerned more than we thought with Dobbins and Edwards and their health. Tough injuries to come back for, Dobbins especially with the knee. So they're going to maybe have a contingency plan they look at in the draft. Gordon still could be on the table for them if they don't go that direction. But something to look at there. And Lamar Jackson, finally we landed him. He's not in a rush to sign his contract, folks. He represents himself, looking for the big deal, trying to maximize his value in the market. So he's motivated to stay healthy, stay on the field, no more of the COVID-19 issues here from last year as well. And just stay there, stay the course, and be on the field and available for the Ravens here this season using Bateman in that mix and maybe a little bit of extra help at running back as well. Let's go to the Buffalo Bills. There's a big rumor swirling that the Bills are interested in a running back pretty early in this draft. And we looked at Devin Singletary. He had a breakout last year in the second half as an RB2. But something tells me the Bills are not completely sold on him handling a big workload. They like to have one guy touch the ball quite a bit. I think that guy they thought could be Zach Moss, but he's not going to do that for them. Singletary is more of a change of pace. They don't want to wear him down. He's a little bit of a slight back here. They like what he can do in the passing game, but I think there's some better options there. So I think they want some juice in this backfield a little bit more, someone they can keep on the field for three downs. And really, The Bills can think that way because they don't really have any glaring weaknesses. I think they need a number two corner, but do they go in that direction there late in the first round? Do they trade out of that pick? Some teams maybe wanting to jump back in for a quarterback or another position there that we're going to look at. It really comes down to one player there. If Trent McDuffie of Washington's available there, I think he's the ideal cornerback to replace Levi Wallace. But now you're talking about Breece Hall of Iowa State again, a pretty nice runner there. And you also have Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. So a couple options for running backs. I actually have them taking Walker in my latest mock draft in the second round. But there's talk that Hall, I think Hall, even though that Walker on the board is the consensus number one guy, Hall has a little bit more explosive qualities. That could have him come off the board first. And I had him going as well before Walker there to the Cardinals in the second round. But there is a rumor here that the Bills might do a little bit of a luxury pick move and go after running back in the first round. That would obviously squash the value of Singletary and Moss going forward, make them more complementary backups. And Gabriel Davis, they might draft a wide receiver later, more in mind with Cole Beasley gone and no more Emmanuel Sanders. Maybe get a little depth behind Stephon Diggs, who got a contract extension, and their new slot guy, Jameson Crowder. So some things we're going to look out for with the Bills. Let's go to the Bengals. They've worked on their offensive line quite a bit this offseason. They added Lael Collins. They got Alex Kappa from the Buccaneers, as well as Ted Karras there from the Patriots. So pretty good overhaul there. Maybe looking for one more offensive lineman. They've been tied a lot to Tyler Linderbaum of Iowa there. Now, there's a chance he could fall to 31st, which I didn't see coming. You also have Kenyon Green of Texas A&M. They still could look at a left guard upgrade. They could also move Karras around to guard and move Linderbaum, a natural center there, out of Iowa right into the middle to anchor this offensive line. Remember a few years ago, they whiffed on Billy Price. He was a big disappointment as a first-round pick, so still trying to make up for that. Did some nice work with their offensive line this offseason, but could still do a little bit more to support Jonah Williams there. And they're good assets here up front, so looks like Linderbaum could be an option. I also have seen tight end, and I had them once take Trey McBride in the first round out of Colorado State, but sleeper there that they could look at. They did sign Hayden Hurst when they lost CJ Uzama in free agency to the Jets, but you have Hayden Hurst and Drew Sample, maybe need a more dynamic receiving option there. And finally, last bit of news with the Bengals. T. Higgins is on the mend a little bit, but he should be good to go. Auden Tate, they lost him there, so they might be looking for a little bit of depth behind T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Tyler Boyd at their number four receiver spot to help Joe Burrow, as well as some tight end potential here on this team. Let's go to the Browns. Pretty much everything swirling around Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield. When are they going to trade Baker Mayfield? Looks like their value is down to a day three pick to move Mayfield, so they've been reluctant to do so. It's pretty clear that they've not wanted him really going forward ever since they had the Deshaun Watson rumors, and the Watson rumor became Watson reality and hasn't been really good for Baker Mayfield since. So he still should be moved here. It's not going to be any kind of quarterback battle there with the Browns. They've been quiet a little bit, the receiving core, but they're kind of happy where they are at tight end, even though they lost Austin Hooper. They're okay at wide receiver with Amari Cooper in there to be their new number one, replacing Odell Beckham Jr. Haven't expressed that much interest in bringing Jarvis Landry back. So Browns have some opportunities there. Watson needs a few more weapons. They're also looking at Will Fuller there. So trying to recreate some of what Watson had with Fuller in Houston. So some things to watch out for, but the Browns still could get some additional weapons here in the draft to help their new franchise quarterback. Watson and Mayfield might help them do that by being on the move when they're on the clock. And finally, the last team we'll talk about here is the Broncos. The Broncos trying to line up their wide receivers well. Tim Patrick is on the way to feeling good. Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, they're trying to get on the same page with Russell Wilson. We saw Russell Wilson courtside there at a Denver Nuggets game. So he's totally embraced Denver. Now he's going to embrace these receivers here and get the chemistry down with the new trio that he had. And we know it's really going to be hard to recreate that Tyler Lockett chemistry, but Jerry Jeudy gives him a chance there. Cortland Sutton built like DK Metcalf. So some parallels there for sure. Albert Equibenium is the guy that we're looking at tight end there. With the Noah Fant gone, they might expand his role into a bit of a hybrid receiver, and we want to watch that. So Albert O, a big opportunity here without Noah Fant. We're going to watch a little bit carefully with the Broncos. But again, we want Russ on the same page as his wide receivers for them to live up to their expectations and raise their value with their new bonafide number one elite starting quarterback. All right, we will get into six more teams in our next segment from the AFC, from Houston to Los Angeles Chargers, and we'll close the show looking at the Dolphins through Tennessee there, Miami M through T there in your final segment. So still 11 teams we'll talk about here and the latest news and draft rumors attached to them. I got to tell you that you got to check out the best product, the signature product that you're going to get from Athletic Greens and incorporate into your health routine every day. It's AG1. I really like using it every day. It's just something that I've added in there with my breakfast, and it's a burst of energy there. That's great. It's good for you. It's all natural. The things that you need there that are going to get you through and power you through the day, as well as keep you super healthy going forward. And the AG1, just drink it every morning, and I'm good to go here. And really, I want to enjoy all the benefits of AG1, and you will too. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. Special ingredients blend supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging, all the things that we look for to get better at here. So AG1, I cannot recommend it enough. Got my first box. I'm ready to get my second box here. Just good to go every day when I have AG1 there. And it's not just me. My family, my friends got them onto it as well. And they're into AG1 there from Athletic Greens. So check it out for yourself. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Right now, and take it. All right, we will continue the show here in a moment and break down the next few teams and the latest news and rumors heading into the 2022 NFL Draft from the AFC. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now for a big announcement. For the first time ever, Locked On is hosting a live coverage event of the 2022 NFL Draft from our studios in Dallas with pick-by-pick analysis from our local team experts and draft gurus. Tune in all 3 days as our draft team guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. It all starts on Thursday, April 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, an hour before the draft. Available on Locked On NFL on YouTube and on the Odyssey app. Okay, let's dive right into the Houston Texans. What are they thinking there? Sitting there at number three, what are they going to do? They've been talking about an offensive lineman, either Ike Ekwonu out of NC State, Evan Neal out of Alabama. They could put them at right tackle there opposite Laremy Tunsil. So there's that option. Are they totally sold on Davis Mills? Is it too early there at number three, given that they have another pick there acquired in the Deshaun Watson trade from the Browns in the first round? They could also look later. They could also say, we're going to upgrade our offense here for our guy Davis Mills, get another receiver here. They've talked about moving Brandon Cooks, maybe going forward with Nico Collins. So Cooks could be on the move yet again. And that's what Brandon Cooks seems to do, just bounce around from team to team and produce in fantasy football. He had a really nice year with the Texans last year, so it'll be tough to see that break up. It was a bit of Tyrod Taylor, but a lot of Davis Mills helped Brandon Cooks produce as well. So they sold on Brandon Cooks there. They also have Chris Conley still in the mix here with Collins, their second-round player from Michigan. So that's an option here at some point in the draft. Again, they could look at Malik Willis of Liberty, or Ryan Pickett, or Kenny Pickett, I should say, of Pittsburgh. And that's what we look at from those guys here. That could they go after a quarterback here early, or do they look at a different position? So right now, offensive line and offensive tackle seems like the way the Texans will go. I think at some point with the Cook situation, maybe putting on move, they have to look at wide receiver, get some help there overall. And a running back, they have Rex Burkhead. They also picked up Marlon Mack from cast off from the division from the Colts. Still need to look at that position also upgrade. So I think the Texans may be safe for quarterback because of Davis Mills. They should be looking for guys that they can upgrade with in many spots here with their offense to help Mills here in 2022. Speaking of Mack's former team, the Colts, we'll talk about them. There are some concerns about Matt Ryan here. And we already had the concerns about Carson Wentz, and that's why they were able to dump Carson Wentz. They actually got better return on Carson Wentz than what they gave up for Matt Ryan. So they're obviously trying to go cheap and try to get an upgraded quarterback and someone that's more stable in what they want to do in Frank Reich's offense. But Matt Ryan may not have a lot left, folks, and we need a sharp left tackle for this team. That's been a question mark here with the Eric Fisher kind of being that stopgap with Anthony Costanzo retiring. Do they upgrade there? I think that's something they have to consider. They're operating without that first-round pick there as well. So second round, there are some good values, including Bernard Raimann there if he lasts from Central Michigan. You also have Dano Filele from Minnesota, another big option. Nicholas Petit-Frere they could look at there out of Ohio State. So offensive tackle seems to be on the radar for the Colts. They did get Stephon Gilmore late in free agency, so that's a little bit deflected. Maybe not thinking defense as much. You have Michael Pittman Jr. as your number one here, so the Colts should be thinking about wide receiver upgrades to help Matt Ryan as well. Tight end, a second tight end with Jack Doyle retiring behind Moale Cox, will also be on the radar here for the Colts. And running back, they want to use Nyheim Hines a little bit more and move it on for Marlon Mack and Wilkins here. So might need a power back in here there to help if they have to go a committee approach with Hines and another back there to replace Jonathan Taylor's production. But the good thing about Jonathan Taylor, there's some talk that Hines could be more involved there catching passes for Matt Ryan. But Taylor's a guy that doesn't miss practice. He's a very good depth pass catcher as well. So a little bit of depth at running back could be in the works. But I think in the order that they're looking at, offensive tackle, wide receiver, get some running back depth, and also maybe if the value is right, look for a quarterback there who can replace Matt Ryan potentially down the line, especially if Matt Ryan kind of falls off cliff here. Really, we saw some of the arm strength and decline already for the Colts. They're trying to make the best of him as a system quarterback who doesn't make mistakes here playing off the running game, the offensive line. But they might realize they have some limitations there at quarterback with Ryan that may even push them back further than they were with Carson Wentz, who I thought had a better year than a lot of people thought there. With Indianapolis just was not good enough, I think, personality-wise. I think that's the biggest reason. Matt Ryan kind of fits a little bit more with what they want to do here with Frank Reich and their offense. He's not going to improvise, get too much out of the offense. He's going to be a guy that follows the schemes pretty well. He's been in a variety of schemes over the years, in many seasons with the Falcons there, leading up to his MVP season there in 2016 under Kyle Shanahan. So a lot of experience there for Matt Ryan. I think that's the biggest reason he got the job. I don't see this team flinging around the park. It's still going to be a lot about Jonathan Taylor, diverse passing game to support that reliable power running game, and pretty good receiving, whether it's Taylor or Hines out of the backfield. The next team you look at is the Jaguars. They're locked into a defensive player, looks like, with the first pick. Aiden Hutchinson has been the guy for a long time, the edge rusher from Michigan, but Trayvon Walker, a little bit of versatility and tackle there for their 3-4 scheme, could be the guy instead out of Georgia to disrupt things up front. So the first pick, it would be shocking if they didn't go in that direction and went totally off the rails and picked an offensive lineman there, because I think they could use some offensive line help, but that's not the highest priority here. So that's something you look at later in the draft. But they look like they want to replenish wide receiver a little bit more. They invest a lot of money in free agency in Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. Laviska Shenault Jr., they're trying to move, however. I think they're starting to fade Marvin Jones. So they should be in the market for potential number three here, a guy who can maybe start on the outside between Kirk and Jones, how they decide to fit them in their formations here in 11 personnel with 3 wide receivers. So they'll be in a market for a wide receiver. They should also be in a market for a supplementary tight end here for Evan Ingram. So we'll see how it plays out. So the Jaguars skill positions here for Trevor Lawrence, still a work in progress. We know the big change already is coming back with Travis Etienne, their first round pick from last year, returning from the knee injury, while James Robinson recovering from that ruptured Achilles. So there's going to be some transition big time with the Doug Peterson era for Trevor Lawrence, and I don't think they're done kind of restocking the quiver of the offensive skill positions. All right, we'll go to the Kansas City Chiefs. We know they've been remixed here, so a lot of activity for the Chiefs at wide receiver. They made that blockbuster trade out of necessity. They couldn't pay Tyreek Hill. He goes to the Dolphins, so they get an extra first-round pick with that, so they now pick number 29, number 30 overall. They need to decide, is that a good wheelhouse to get wide receiver? Should they trade up with those picks and go a little bit higher? They can go all the way to number 12 and get a receiver there to complement what they have now, which is Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster. So a lot of words there and hyphens to look at the receiving core at this moment. Mecole Hardman is trying to lobby for a bigger Hill-like role, but they also took a flyer on Corey Coleman. Josh Gordon is still around here, so Receiving core, I don't think they're done here. The Chiefs should at least look at one with one of those picks in the first round, number 29 or number 30. A running back, we'll see if they're done, but the development here is Ronald Jones is signed. They feel like he can have a significant role, but I think what you're going to see is that Jones is pretty much the early down type guy in certain situations. I still think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be the man, but I don't know if they're going to force themselves into running back because Jones is a pretty good investment. I think they're just going to expand Edwards-Helaire's role a little bit more, use checkdowns, throw the running backs a little bit more this year without Tyreek Hill, maybe the deep ball not being there as much. And you look at MVS, he's kind of the field stretcher there for the Chiefs. Juju is more that big slot intermediate guy that you look at. And Hardman is more a run after the catch guy with the speed and quickness. So and the Chiefs might be a little bit more horizontal, shorter intermediate than vertical and deep here with Patrick Mahomes to try to be a little bit more effective in the Andy Reid style of offense we've seen in the past with the Eagles. All right, the next team we'll talk about, the Raiders. Raiders are trying to figure out their wide receiver pecking order. Right now, it's pretty much set where you'll have Devontae Adams as the number one, Hunter Renfrow on the slot, Bryan Edwards behind them playing on the outside. They also signed DeMarcus Robinson, their former rival with the Chiefs. They also have Mac Hollins. They also remixed their backfield, moving on there from the third back, Jalen Richard. You already have Josh Jacobs and Kenny Drake, but they're got Amir Abdullah in the mix here, so I don't think they'll go for running back. I still think a wide receiver could be in the mix. Again, they do not have a first-round pick with that trade with the Packers, so these are all going to be additions later. I think they could use some offensive line help and defense here in the first round. But the Raiders just kind of in position where they made their big move with Devontae Adams, trying to figure out, again, how the rest of the wide receiver corps shakes out for Derek Carr, and then see if they need to address anything else here. Maybe a backup for Darren Waller. Foster Moreau was pretty good, but maybe a little bit of extra depth there. But I think really the Raiders, you'd like to see them upgrade their offensive line a little bit more, especially in the interior with the run blocking to help Jacobs and Drake, and then focus on defense there when that's not the case. The next team that we'll get to in the segment, the last team we'll talk about, is the Los Angeles Chargers. They brought back Jalen Guyton. We know they gave Mike Williams a big deal, so pretty intact at wide receiver between Keenan Allen and Williams and Guyton. And they also brought Donald Parham Jr. back at tight end, moving on from Jared Cook here. So you got Parham in a bigger role here for the Chargers. He's coming off that scary injury from last year. So they're pretty set the offensive skill positions. They were tied a lot to Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle from Georgia, to beef up their run defense, basically. But they got Sebastian Joseph Day, some bodies there that can help them there for Brandon Staley. So they could think a little bit offensive line. Interior offensive line has come up. They do have two guys that they trust in Matt Filer and Corey Linsley. But the other guard, I think they're a little bit weak there. And they really hit it out of the park with Rashawn Slater last year at left tackle. So really shore up that other guard spot, and you've got one of the better offensive lines in front of Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler going forward here in 2022. All right, there's five more teams we'll talk about. We'll hit them all in our final segment in a rapid fashion here for you. First, I got to tell you about Built Bar. This is the time of the year that you can give up on all your New Year's resolutions. It's almost May, but this year I'm sticking through it through the fifth month, and you can too. You can eat right thanks to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution, and it hasn't really been at all because I enjoy eating them and incorporate them there into what I'm doing. Built Bar is a great snack on the go. It's also a good way to get a light breakfast to get going before a workout. Have you tried the Puffs? You haven't? You're missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. Puffs are a fan favorite with some incredible flavors. They're marshmallow type special protein bars that are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yummy cinnamony churro and chocolatey churro is one of the flavors. Coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. So good. These are going to be among your new favorites of Built Bars. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yep, that includes the Puffs. 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They're better for you and they're better tasting. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. Go to Built.com and scroll down the macro chart. You'll be blown away. High protein, low calorie, high fiber, low carb indeed. Most Built Bar can contain 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. A lot of great flavors that you can check out, including mint brownie and coconut almond. And always new flavors are available all the time at Built Bar. If they think a flavor might be good, they'll make it. It'll be delicious and it'll be good for you. They always pull it off with a great taste and an awesome protein bar. Go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, it is time to close the show looking at five more teams. So we got three more teams from the AFC East that we're going to break down, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, and we'll close looking at the Steelers, Titans, the latest news and rumors going into the 2022 NFL Draft. The Dolphins have been very busy this offseason. They've remixed the receiving core. They said goodbye to Devontae Parker as they welcome Tyreek Hill in that blockbuster with the Chiefs. So if Tyreek Hill is your new number one, you got Preston Williams still in the mix, and you got Jalen Waddle as your number two. You got Mike Gesicki back on the franchise tag here, tight end. So Tua's weapons are looking pretty good. They also got Terron Armstead and Connor Williams, so upgrade your offensive line. There are no more excuses for Tua. He has to produce. And look, he said he doesn't feel any extra pressure with all these weapons. You have to. This team has invested plenty around you. They've moved a coach because of you, because there's some difference of opinion on whether Tua is the guy between Brian Flores and Chris Greer, the general manager. So everything has been lined up for Tua. They want to get him up to speed to where Joe Burrow is, already playing in the Super Bowl, playing at elite level. Justin Herbert also is a top passer from the same draft class in 2020. So the pressure is on Tua. Look like they could get a little bit more weaponry for him. Maybe some interior, exterior offensive line help still in the mix for the right side there if they short up the left side. So a lot of things the Dolphins could still look at. Again, they enter the draft pretty late here, so really what they do in the second round is going to supplement and get some depth here, especially offensively, with the focus, I would suspect, being a little bit more defensive-minded here for the Dolphins. Now, let's go to the next team, the Patriots. The Patriots may be off wide receivers after that Devontae Parker trade. It was an interesting intra-division trade they made with the Dolphins. Are looking to move N'Keal Harry out of the mix. They are satisfied with their other parts of the receiving core right now. Jacoby Myers, Nelson Agholor there, and Kendrick Bourne for their depth. And tight end, we know they invested quite a bit in Hunter Henry and Jonas Smith. So again, wide receivers may be slowly off the radar. We thought they could be in play in the middle of the first round for the Patriots. The Jameson Williams effect, Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson, they still could go in that direction here, but I think the Parker investment, having a little depth there right now, even without Harry being traded, I think that's something you look at. Patriots could use a little bit of offensive line help. They could use some secondary help for sure. So I think they'll focus on corner. They got to replace inside linebacker. So I think defense first is also going to be kind of the mode for Bill Belichick in this draft. The next team we'll talk about is the Dolphins and Patriots rivals. They're in New York, the Jets. Wide receiver seems like a big thing all of a sudden for the Jets. We thought they might be set with Corey Davis and Braxton Berrios and Elijah Moore, but I think they're not completely sold. There aren't Berrios being a regular type guy. Maybe keep him on special teams. They can also move Elijah Moore to the slot and Corey Davis coming back. So maybe getting that classic number two on the outside with size, speed, strength to stretch the field. So they've been tied a lot to Drake London of USC, who would fit that bill with his size there and speed and strength. And they got two first-round picks. Some think they will pull the trigger there at number 10 for a wide receiver. We'll see. I think number 4 looks like best defensive player available, where it's Kayvon Thibodeau or Kyle Hamilton. They could also come back and go defense again at number 10. But the wide receiver is definitely on the radar for the Jets, as well as helping their offensive line beyond Mekhi Becton and Elijah Vera Tucker. Get a little bit of help up front there to help those skill players and Zach Wilson here develop. But I think it's going to be rather defense-leaning, but the Jets are not going to completely ignore some key parts of their offense for depth at wide receiver to create a little bit more weaponry for Wilson and protect him a little bit better. The offensive line also boosts the running game for the other second-year player they're feeling good about, Michael Carter, the running back. All right, the Steelers, a lot of rumors whether they're going to take a quarterback here. This quarterback room lost Josh Dobbs there. He went to Cleveland, so you're looking at the Steelers needing to figure out Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph. Are they satisfied with that room here? Does Trubisky play bridge quarterback? Do they look at a quarterback at 20th overall? Do they go offensive line? Where do they go with maybe getting a linebacker to get some help here with some struggles there on the second level with Devin Bush? They did add Miles Jack, but he's coming off a shaky season with the Jaguars. So I think Steelers offensive line or linebacker are the options here if they don't go quarterback. And I would still think quarterback is going to be on the radar, especially if at least Desmond Ridder, the third guy on the board, is still available. Number 20 or somewhere in range where they can trade up and get him. The last team I'll talk about here is the Tennessee Titans. The Titans have been pretty active this offseason. They added Robert Woods there, moved on from Julio Jones. A.J. Brown is a big question mark. Derrick Henry is good to go here. Ryan Tannehill's back in the fold for one more year. Do they need more help for A.J. Brown here, given that Robert Woods is coming off an ACL for contingencies there? Are they happy with Hooper at tight end? Do they want to improve? Basically, Austin Hooper replaces Anthony Firkser, who went on and moved on. So when you look at what the Titans are doing, do they move A.J. Brown? I would try to not do that because you need him to make a lot of big plays. He has a good chemistry with Ryan Tannehill, and he's going to be helpful for wherever that quarterback stash is. So there's talk about the Titans using that first-round pick late there behind the Bills on a quarterback. We'll see about that one. I think it's a little bit of a reach for them when they have some other needs here. They could look at some edge rushing help, best player available, stash your player for next year. The Titans have a lot of possibilities here with the general manager, Rob Robinson. But definitely, I would not sleep on A.J. Brown potentially being moved. They don't want to move him at all, but if they get a great offer, multiple first-rounders, like we saw with the Devontae Adams deal for the Packers and the Tyreek Hill deal for the Chiefs, you can never say never in this league. So we'll see what happens there. But it would be nice to have Brown, Woods, Hooper, and some help there intact here for Ryan Tannehill to try to rebound as a potential RB1. An offense that still has a lot of potential. It's run heavy, but we know it still can be very conducive to quarterback production, playing off the run, play action, and using that to the advantage there. So A.J. Brown, I would suspect, is still in the mix. I think we'll end up being, they'll get a contingency and some help if he holds out. They need to do something in the contract. I think they could use some behind him and Robert Woods there, especially, you know, the Woods situation with the knee should make them a little nervous to have a little bit of a insurance policy in place here coming out of the draft. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Don't forget, we'll break down the NFC latest news and notes heading into the 2022 NFL Draft, what the teams might be thinking, where they're set, where they're not set. We'll do that for you the same way. We'll go in alphabetical order, cover all 16 teams for you on tomorrow's show as we count down to Thursday night and then NFL Draft. Now make your second listen, Locked On NFL Draft. Speaking of draft, Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with tonight analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Mitty Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow with our latest NFC news and notes out of the draft.